ladies and gentlemen. Another hour of good news coming your way, courtesy of the extraordinary researcher and military veteran, law enforcement veteran, man about town and about the world, Mitchell Henderson. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine.
Good.
Good. How are you doing? Good.
I don't know. This is all nuts. We're trying to make sense of it and keep it at least reasonably close to the straight and narrow. Now they're calling the spike protein. They're saying it doesn't exist. It's a synthetic bioelectric AI parasite. It's a parasite now. So
it's all
disinformation. They're playing people like they're just cheap fiddles. And unfortunately, I'm not blaming the people.
Yeah. We can see that in Russia now, in Ukraine. Ukraine is threatening to set off a dirty bomb and blame it on Russia to get NATO to come in and fight for Ukraine.
And
so Russia tells the United States, France, and Great Britain, and they say, oh, well, you're just lying. It's black propaganda. If a dirty bomb goes off in Ukraine, it is Russia that set it off, is what the allies said.
Yeah, they're going to do that. They're going to set it off so they can douse the entire Donbass with radiation. That's how smart the Russians are. Brilliant. Yeah, the city of Nikolaev is where the bomb is, supposedly.
They have no reason to use such a weapon.
Of course not.
You know? But we're supposed to believe Zelensky, the clown. We're supposed to believe Zelensky the clown, not a sober person, okay? So, I don't know. Tonight I want to get into a little bit into corporate communism, and I want to get into a little bit more on the Russian background, like the background of Russia, how they think, so we can understand that what they say is important to them. Okay, we blow it off, and I'll get into that.
Yeah. Well, Zelensky is being careful about his coke addiction. I haven't seen any evidence of it lately, but it got to be pretty obscene there, pretty laughable for a while there. Maybe we should call Ukraine Cochrane.
Cochrane, yep.
Just for now. Anyway, the mayor of Nikolaev, where the bomb is supposed to be, is telling all the people in the cities to evacuate. Get out of town. He is. Yeah. So I don't know what more you need.
The Ukrainians, there's nothing they won't stoop to achieve their goals by any means necessary, you know?
Cochranians.
Ends justify the ends.
Yes.
We used to think those were bad things.
Yes,
now
indeed.
Our government runs on it. So, last week, the Antichrist...
Mitch, hold on. I'm sorry. This is a big story, which made no news. At last, I posted it yesterday. Do you know how much diesel fuel is left in the U.S. for all diesel uses?
How much?
Three weeks.
What Goldman Sachs and BlackRock said, we'll be starving and freezing to death by Christmas.
Yeah, they've been shipping tanker loads of it over there to, propel all the heavy equipment, the APCs, the tanks, and all that.
Yeah.
So that's where your diesel went, friends. America has been just raped, ravaged, pillaged, and is being executed by the junta that has taken the White House. It's disgusting that America allowed that man to go in there unelected, illegal, and to let the word president be remotely associated with his name. It's sickening. Go ahead.
It is sickening. So last week, the Antichrist Bolshevik Vice Chairman Kamala Harris stated that we have to pay for our lives. So this is a World Economic Forum thing. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy.
Right.
You know,
right.
you have to pay for it. So consider the trajectory here. We went from free people where God owned everything, or nature owned everything, decaying into a monarchy where the king owned everything and everybody. And then in the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, humans had a little taste of freedom there for a while. But in Paris, we didn't like it very much because, see, first we had the government owning everything and owning everybody, and then we became free, and now business people want to own everything and own everybody. So we should have seen this coming way back a long time ago in the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 8:11, the Israelis begged God for a king. Samuel warned, "This is how your king will treat you. He will make soldiers of your sons. Your sons will have to plow his fields and harvest his crops. Your daughters will have to... He will take your best fields, vineyards, and olive groves. He will take a tenth of your grain and grapes for his court officers. He will take your servants and your best cattle and make them work for him. And you will become his slaves. When that time comes, you will complain bitterly because of your king, whom you yourself chose." I want to tell you, we have all bought into this Green New Deal stuff, and the Great Reset is coming. The Great Reset is about you being owned by business people, and you have to pay them to live. Okay, it's better than charging people for air. They're going to charge you for your very life. Okay, so this clearly what it says there in Samuel clearly negates the concept of divine right of kings and shows it to be a curse from God rather than a gift.
Mm-hmm. Oops, I don't hear you, Mitch. Hold on. Let's see if we get him right back. I hope they haven't done this again. They don't like what we do. Maybe they don't like what Mitch is doing. All right. That's an encouraging little beep beep. It means Todd's trying to get him back. If you're listening, Mitch, you got to hang up. We'll call you back. Joe Biden was complicit in six alleged white-collar crimes, so says a 634-page watchdog report. Well, I think that may be the understatement of the year. Welcome back, Mitch.
Oh, okay. So, anyways, when somebody died, the sheriff took everything, gave the king and family nothing. After a while, sheriffs have been taking too much of this property for themselves, so the king created a new office, the coroner, which the word coroner comes from corona or crown, pronounced death and to seize the deceased property for the king. Okay, that's how life was. That's how they were. Life wants to be. Only the king's going to be business people, not a king. With the advent of the Industrial Revolution came the Enlightenment, where the wealthy elite wanted more freedom to do business and accumulate wealth.
Hey, Mitch.
They wanted a king. Yes.
We're breaking up here a lot.
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to call. Hang up, Mitch. We're going to call you back again.
Okay.
All right. This depends on the circuit. Food getting to be more expensive every day. If we run out of diesel in 3-4 weeks, oh my God! Pardon the cliche. No trucks, nothing runs. So look out. All right, go ahead, Mitch.
Am I sounding any better?
Yes. You're okay. Fine now. Yeah.
So with the advent of the Industrial Revolution came the Enlightenment, where the wealthy elite wanted more freedom to do business and accumulate wealth. They wanted the king's power circumscribed so they could be the new merchant kings. This meant property rights. Few would be motivated to work hard if they could not enjoy the fruits of their labor. As ownership devolved into the individual, the wealthy elites wanted a compliant government to assure its ownership rights. Business corporations were formed, creating artificial persons with more rights and less duties than a real individual had. The process was a decay from the spiritual to the secular to the business class. What we had in America for so long was corporate socialism, or welfare for big business. For example, the 2009 TARP that bailed out all of those businesses that had caused the collapse, and at the same time making the victims pay up to bail out the people who caused the problem in the first place. That's sort of a accumulation of business power. Lyndon Johnson's 1964 war on poverty has in the long run been a war on the middle class. The TARP bailout accelerated the destruction of the middle class. The Industrial Revolution created liberal democracy to make the people believe that they had some say in what was going on. It circumscribed the power of the wealthy elite, but the wealthy elite wanted to be kings, owning both all property and all people. This is the goal of the wealthy elite, as seen in the World Economic Forum. You will own nothing and be happy. You will rent everything from the wealthy elite, even your clothes. In a liberal democracy, private individuals own the means of production and decide how to use it. In socialism, the individual owns the means of production, but the state intervenes to make sure that the masses are treated fairly economically. Well, they never do this, of course. This has never worked because the wealthy can better influence the state than the masses could. The wealthy only did what was in their interest, not the state's or the people's interest. Fascism attempted to cure this by allowing private individuals to own the means of production, but the state directed the operations of production to benefit both the state and the people. It worked really well and was an existential threat to the wealthy elites of the world. It had to be stamped out forever. The very thought of it became anathema and simply unthinkable. Communism...
Mitch,
yes.
slow down about 20%. Okay. You've got so many good things in there. Let's not rush by them. They're good. Great.
Okay.
Go ahead. Thank you.
So communism came where the state owned both the means of production and directed the operations of that production. It did not work well at all. So it is well accepted. Meanwhile, the wealthy elites began to work towards a communist economy and society wherein they were in control of the communist state instead of the workers. Big business has paid a fortune to influence the government to change the laws to their advantage and to the disadvantage of the individual. Consider that Mark Zuckerberg paid $45 million in Georgia alone to rig the election so that the Antichrist Bolshevik Democrats could grab power. That was in the 2020 election.
Yeah.
Consider that the wealthy elite paid scientists to frame the anthropogenic global warming fear-mongering to justify charging you for the air you breathe. That was a major coup. An extra money that you pay for gas at the pump and electricity to power your home is that carbon tax that you pay for air. This is not a natural market force because the shortage of energy is all politically created and not allowing petroleum by not allowing petroleum fuel extraction. Remember when the day Biden became president, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline, he stopped drilling on the North Slope in Alaska, and he stopped allowing any new drilling at all.
Yep.
Okay, that's where our high gas prices come from. It's not because of Russia. Okay, it is all because of us. Funny, isn't it? The Bolshevik Democrats can cut fuel production to steal from us, but when Saudi Arabia cuts production, they are evil and friends of Russia. Fuel prices, they're actually infantile in the way that they talk about people in places. Fuel prices and inflation were spiking before the invasion of Ukraine. And the West cut off supplies from Russia when they had no alternatives. It is not Russia's fault. It is solely the fault of the Antichrist Bolshevik Democrats. Do you remember it was the pedophile Biden who demanded that Europe stop buying fuel from Russia? So the bottom line is that the global elites own the air, the water, the food, and the energy for the world's people. When the cackling Antichrist Bolshevik Kamala Harris says that we must pay to live, she is only stating an established fact. The global pedophile Bolshevik elites own everything in the world without exception, and you have to pay for it. Your very life is owned by the global pedophile Bolshevik elites, and you should have to pay them for it, too. You are no longer a free individual. You are, in fact, personal property of the global pedophile Bolshevik elites. In a couple of weeks, we will have another massively rigged national election. It is imperative that all go out to vote the Bolsheviks out of office. You might as well go out and prove that America no longer has a free and fair elections and that the entire government of the United States is completely illegitimate. You will have doubts if you don't vote. and you will be less likely to assert your freedoms. It is simple. If you cannot go down to vote, you will not partake in any other form of rebellion. I seriously doubt that you would. If you can't do the easy things, you will certainly not do any of the hard things you need to do to be free. There is no way that the Antichrist Bolshevik Democrats could possibly win. But they are about power alone, and they will just have to rig the election because they could not win on their own merits. Of course, government establishment and the press will insist that it was a legitimate election, just like they did last time, because they cannot have actual fair elections, and so they must insist on the fiction of fair elections to legitimize their power. Their power is not legitimate in any way, shape, or form. Okay? So, no matter what they say, they're not legitimately there.
Wow.
So, yeah. War is always the path to power. World War I was an effort to stop a new threat to the global pedophile elites. Germany was at the pinnacle of cultural achievement according to the philosophy of G.W.F. Hegel, who in his Philosophy of History says that the civilization always had to be led by great enlightened empires like Egypt, Greece, Rome, and finally German civilization. The global pedophile Bolshevik elites did not want an empire to exist that they did not directly control. The barbaric Huns had to be stopped to save civilization, or actually just their own interests. German civilization confronted the truth about humanity's slavery to the global elites and attempted fascism. Only productive profit was allowed. Speculative profit, that which makes the filthy rich wealthy, was outlawed. You can understand now why they hated it so much. Germans in 1939 had the same standard of living as Americans did in 1959. But then our war economy was pure fascism. My grandparents considered Franklin Roosevelt to be one of the great fascist leaders of the world. In Alistair Cook's American History videos, he says that Roosevelt was a hardcore fascist. Talk to the people that suffered under his dictatorship, and you will be surprised at how many thought he was a fascist. The fascist economy did not end with the war, but kept on because of the Cold War. Our fascist government taught the global pedophile Bolshevik elite how to co-opt communism. Under Eisenhower, Eisenhower ran on getting rid of Social Security. But then when he got into power, he was convinced that in order to compete with communism, we had to have some social benefits for the people. Instead of being the strongest opposition to communism, the global pedophile Bolshevik elite decided that it was the best business model for their benefit. Instead of the proletariat, the workers, owning everything in common, the global elites would own everything, and the workers would own nothing. Communism was the ultimate master-slave society, and it became their dream. World War I attempted to give us a world government, led ostensibly by the United States, but the U.S. Congress refused to join. World War II did give us a more effective world government in the United Nations that is still led by the United States. World War III is the global pedophile Bolshevik elite's path to total power. This is the war that puts the Antichrist in power. Let me make a quick distinction. No one knows who the Antichrist will be, but the Antichrist system must prepare the way for him. The Antichrist system goes by many names: global elites, progressives, Marxist Democrats, Zionists, the woke. World War III is a war for the Antichrist to take power. America and the West are on the Antichrist side. Russia believes that it is on Christ's side. So let me go a little bit more into the Russian, like, yeah, mindset, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
way they see things, the way they believe things.
Sure.
Okay, so to understand another nation's point of view, you need to understand the narratives of their history and culture as they believe them. It's their belief in it that makes it powerful. It's not whether it's true or false, it's just what they believe. Not as we understand it, but as they understand it. I've read an article in the current edition of the globalist journal Foreign Affairs, an article by Fiona Hill and Angela Stent, called "The World Putin Wants." Fiona Hill has a PhD from Harvard in Russian history, but her article is a propaganda piece. She says that what Russians know about their history is nonsense. The You're just going to blow Please. Off their entire Please. Culture just by saying that it's nonsense?
Please.
How is that intellectually rigorous in any way? Okay, this is what we've decayed into. We have these self-delusional people, putting out what their ego tells them to put out. Can you possibly be more arrogant than that?
Pathetic.
Because we think Russian history is nonsense. The Russians do not get an opinion, sort of like they demand that you believe that anything about Hitler is evil and bad. Yet the mass murderers Lenin, Stalin, Mao Zedong, and Pol Pot are not evil people, although they murdered at least 15 times more people than Hitler did. Why is this? Because Hitler killed woke people, and Stalin, Mao, and Pol Pot were woke people who killed regular people like us. They demand that you believe Islamist terrorists blew up the Twin Towers on 9/11, that you believe that the dangers of climate change are real, that you believe that the 2020 elections was free and fair, that January 6th was worse than Pearl Harbor and 9/11, justifying painting all straight white males as enemies of the state, that all white people are incurably racist and black people can never be racist, that white people need to be genocided, that LGBT sex is normal and moral, and that it is a moral good to murder your babies, and the litany of obvious bullshit lies that you are required to believe goes on and on.
Required.
Like the vaccinations will protect you from COVID. All these nonsense. I mean, it's apparent nonsense, yet people massively believe it. But you and all Russians are supposed to believe what the woke people's delusional and contrived nonsense. Believing the woke narrative is proof that you have turned your back on nature or God and are hopelessly lost. Fiona Hill is not alone in disappointing me with a lack of intellectual vigor. Orlando Figes, a very good writer on Russian history and a professor of Russian history in London, disappointed me in saying the same thing, basically that Russians are not allowed to believe in their own historical narrative because it is nonsense. There is simply no truth and no respect for others' thinking in woke intelligentsia. Wokeism is a religion that demands faith in it alone. No thinking beyond the accepted narratives is allowed. Figes writes in his book, The Story of Russia, quote, "The book begins in the first millennium when Russia's lands were settled by the Slavs and ends with Putin in the third, examining the myths of Russian history which he has used to bolster his authoritarian regime.
Yeah.
Its underlying argument is simply put, Russia is a country held together by ideas rooted in the distant past. History is continuously reconfigured and repurposed to suit the present needs and reimagine its future." So, well, America does the exact same thing. We do that. We see it all the time. Families and individuals have family and personal mythologies also. To deny me my personal narratives is to deny me my personhood. There are many myths in my family history, but they belong to my family and are nobody else's business. The woke disease demands conformity and obedience, period. They demand it from me, from you, from our families, and as you can see, from foreign culture.
Do we lose Mitch again? Okay. All right, let's go ahead and take our break at this point, and we'll get Mitchell back. So hang on. We shall continue in just a couple minutes. Welcome back. Okay, we have Mitchell back on the line, and they've been after you twice tonight, Mitch.
Yeah, I guess they're on to this phone number now. So according to woke ideology, races don't exist, neither do ethnicities, unless they are catering to a sense of grievance on behalf of an underserved and marginalized communities. So there is a black race and there is an Asian race, but the white race is a fiction. It does not exist. The only ethnicity that exists is Hispanic. There is no other acceptable ethnicities. So I bring up Orlando Figes and Fiona Hill because they're the West's top experts on Russia, and they're partisan and they are biased and they do not have open minds. There is this struggle between NATO and Russia is going to end in a nuclear war. No ands, buts, or ifs, okay? It's just a matter of time. We're going to do something stupid to make it happen. Russia has been preparing its people. They're letting people see how the West is acting so that people can see that there was no other choice than to push the button. Okay. So let's get into Russian culture a little bit to see where they're coming from. So first, Russians are Slavs. Slav means slave. Western Europeans used to raid into Russia to capture slaves during the beginning of Russia. Russian women are still sold into slavery in the West today. That's the only thing we have a use for them for. To figures, black people have a legitimate grievance against all white people because their African countrymen sold them to Arabs and then white men as slaves. But black people are not called slaves today. Slavic people are still called slaves, even though it was 1,000 years ago that they were slave stock. The Slavs seem to have no grievance against the Europeans in the West that enslaved them. Russians are white. They are not allowed to have a grievance. Okay, second, Kievan Rus was the first Russian state and included all of the Russias, Russia, Belorussia, and Ukraine. The word Ukraine comes from the old Slav word Okraina, which means borderlands. Borderland of what? Russia.
Yep.
So third, the Holy Russia. The Russian peasant belief in the certainty of building heaven on earth and specifically on Russian soil, according to the early Christian myth of Holy Russia, a new land of salvation where Christ would appear. It is ironic that the Bolsheviks or early woke people bought them hell on earth and the Antichrist appeared, Lenin and Stalin instead. But this belief is fundamental, and the people have not lost faith in it. Yes, Putin thinks Russia is fighting a holy war against the West, against Satan himself. This includes martyrdom, the story of Boris and Gleb, who were killed in the dynastic wars following the death of their father Vladimir in 1015, is instructive. They are considered martyrs who willingly laid down their lives for the salvation of Russia, and just like the Christ did, for humanity. Well, this is Figs says for Palestinians. He is woke and thinks Christ died as a political figure. Their sacrifice was venerated by the church as for forging the covenant between God and the newly baptized Rus, a new holy land, which was endowed by a special grace. This is where the concept of Holy Russia comes from. Vladimir had converted to Christianity and had all Russians baptized at once by decree. Let me clarify that. So when Vladimir became a Orthodox Christian, he went to Constantinople to get baptized, and what he did is he said, I'm representing all of the Russian people and all of Russia. I want them all baptized at the same time I am baptized, because in the Russian Orthodox Church, all Russians go towards God at the same time, okay? It's a collectivist type of religion. Fourth, the concept of Mother Russia comes from pre-Christian Slavic pagan religion. Their gods were more forces of nature personified than what we know as gods. The pagan goddess Mokash, goddess of the earth, became Christianized as Mother Russia. At the core of Russian faith is this distinctive stress on motherhood, which really never took root in the Latin West. Where the Catholic tradition placed its emphasis on the Madonna's purity, the Russians emphasize her divine motherhood. Mother Russia is an emotional attachment to the Russian people, to their land. The Russian Orthodox Church supplanted the goddess Roshanitsa, the goddess for fertility, and Mokash, god of earth, with veneration of the motherhood of the Madonna and of Mother Russia. Okay. So if Russia is both holy and the mother of the Russian people, then their land is very important to them. They have a responsibility to keep what God has given them. Our foreign policy does not respect God or people who do respect God. Russia is a flat, open country with few natural boundaries. They have always been invaded. By 1918, Russia was a huge empire. After World War I, Russia lost Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland due to the direct intervention of Western nations. In World War II, Russia gained back Estonia, Latvia, and Estonia. The sphere of influence, puppet states, included Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, Albania, and Mongolia. When the Soviet Union fell in 1991, Russia lost Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania again. They also lost Belarus, Ukraine, Armenia, Georgia, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan. Mongolia was no longer a puppet state. The West was intimately involved in this breakup. Putin's complaint of the West always seeking to destroy Russia is not an illusion. It is actual history. Now the old pedophile Marxist Biden tells Russia that it must break up into 17 new nations. What are they supposed to think? The threat from the West is real to them.
Yeah, of course it is.
Jeez. Okay. I also want you I want people to think this. Think about this. Okay, so Russia now accepts the fact that Poland, East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, these countries were puppet states of the Soviet Union. Yeah. Now they belong to NATO. And how does Russia see these states? They see them as Western puppet states. They're not independent countries. They're puppet states of NATO, of the United States, basically. So let's go back into some more history. The Mongol invasion of 1223 was centered on the open steppes and plains of Russia. The Mongols wanted pasture and had excellent horse cavalry. The Russian forests to the north were not of interest to the Mongols, except as tributary states. These were called the principalities. Polish Galicia and Kiev were part of Russia. The Mongols actually were tolerant of all religions. Mongol rule for two centuries left Christianity as the defining feature of Russian endurance at its dark time in their history. To be Russian is to be Christian. That is why they do not accept the woke religion of pushing LGBT lifestyles. The Kremlin was built as a part of a new deal with the church, which allied itself to Moscow's cause as a national power center to liberate the Orthodox from Mongol rule. So the Russian Orthodoxy is a part of Russian freedom. Okay, in 1380, the Russians defeated the Mongols at the Battle of Kulikovo. This battle is seen as the moment of Russian national awakening. The Russians felt like they saved Europe from the Mongol threat. Russia also saved the West from Napoleon in 1815 and Europe from Hitler in 1945. Russians believe that the West is ungrateful for this. Serbia will invade Kosovo when the nuclear war breaks out. Serbia feels betrayed by Europe because they do not get any credit for being the guardian of the gate that stopped the Muslim invasions of Europe. So in World War II, the United States takes the credit for defeating Germany and Japan. The actual truth is that Russia and China bore the brunt of the war. The United States lost 400,000 people in all theaters of war. Russia lost 30 million people. China lost 20 million. Yet China and Russia, who saved the West, are now considered the bad guys, a threat to the West. No, the West is clearly a threat to Russia and China. You can always hear us just say it outright. Our government does. The gift of the Mongolian invasion was that it isolated Russia from the West, allowing it to preserve its Byzantine inheritance, its old Slavonic culture, and its Orthodox beliefs, untouched by the secular and individualistic trends of the Renaissance humanism in Europe. Russia feels threatened by woke ideology. You should, too. With this information, you can see that Russia will use nuclear weapons to assure that they do not lose. NATO Secretary General said that if Ukraine loses, Europe loses, which means that Russia must lose. Russia will not lose. If they begin to lose, we all die.
Yet
the Bolshevik Democrats are telling voters that if the Republicans take Congress, aid to Ukraine will cease. Oh, well, that would be a good thing, I think. Republicans that ran on supporting Ukraine alone lost their campaigns. I wonder why the Bolshevik Democrats think we really care about Ukraine. I have Ukrainian blood in me. But my family left there because it's a very corrupt land. I'm an American. Ukraine is not in any way, shape, or form of vital interest to America. Do I want those I love to die so America can have a puppet state in the Ukraine? Absolutely not. I do not want that.
No, no.
But they keep pushing. It's just a matter of time before we miscalculate in a way that sets off this nuclear war. If you look at it, if you look at everything that's happening, it's not Russia that wants the nuclear war. It is the United States. It is the global elites that want this nuclear war because they're not going to perish in it. They have bunkers where they can be safe from it. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. When I think about the poor people in Jackson, Mississippi that have no water, and then we're sending billions of dollars to Ukraine, which we could have used to fix their water supply.
$50 billion more again yesterday announced, Mitch. $50 billion more. It's over $100 billion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to keep on going. They keep having to up the ante because they're pushing Russia and pushing Russia. They think
3 weeks left of diesel fuel
Russia.
In America. Remember.
Well, see, the way they look at it is, well, you know, like if you look at European history, well, you got a country, but it changes government systems and everything all the time. Even changes borders a little bit. Big deal, so we say. Well, if you understand the Russian mindset, it is a big deal, and it is unacceptable. They're not going to accept. They're not going to have us pick their king for them. They're not going to do it. They'll pick their own king. They want to have their own culture, their own life. They would like us to leave them alone, if nothing else. I mean, they would like to cooperate with us economically, but they'll settle for us just leaving them alone. But we won't. We promised not to go one inch east into the Warsaw Pact. And now we have the whole Warsaw Pact and more, okay, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And it's like these are all puppet states of the United States. We've gone right up to Russia's borders.
Yes.
So this is it. This is their last stand. They have to prevail. They cannot lose. And, you know, it's like there will be no negotiating to stop a nuclear war because, well, simply put, there's nobody to negotiate. They're even telling Ukraine, well, you know, if you have a peace thing, you have to get all of your land back. Well, why would Russia do that? I mean, by Russia taking those four provinces and incorporating it into their country, it makes it a disputed border. Which means Ukraine cannot get into NATO, okay? They won't get into NATO if they're already in a fight. That would be suicide on the part of NATO to do that. Plus, there's countries in NATO that don't like Ukraine, like Hungary. Hungary would never vote to allow Ukraine into NATO. There's other countries that don't want them in either. Okay. Ukraine was known, prior to this war, Ukraine was known as the most corrupt, decadent, and immoral nation in Europe. Okay. The most corrupt country in Europe. And as Europeans think this too, you know, this is what the Europeans thought. So, but now, Ukraine is a holy nation. They're purely innocent of everything, as 70% of everything we send them.
Oh,
so $70 billion have gone into the pockets of Ukrainian oligarchs. Corrupt
Zionist,
oligarchs.
Bolshevik, Kabbalistic oligarchs.
Yes, you bet. Every nasty and foul thing, you know. It's just how they are, you know. My how the story changes, you know. And if you go back and think about it, you think about all the money that Joe Biden got from Ukraine, okay. They only gave him like $20 million, and look, he's now giving them $70 billion. What a payoff. What a good deal, you know. I mean, if we can't see this whole thing is corruption, it's like, what was the outcry of Americans? Oh, we have to help Ukraine. Well, actually, not too many Americans are very concerned with that. I think the poll I saw, the biggest poll of people that were very concerned with Ukraine was only 20% of the American people. That's not in any way in a majority. But $20 million bribe will get you a lot. It'll get you a lot of influence. It'll get you into this war where you can make so much money, it's obscene how much money they're making.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And it's not just Ukrainian oligarchs. You bet that our politicians are getting their coffers filled also with this war. This is a war for profit, individual profit of the people that are keeping us in it. Now, they're not spending their money in Ukraine. They're spending your money in Ukraine, not their money. So how convenient, you know. Take something away from us and against our will, give it to somebody else that we wouldn't even want to give it to. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
No. Crazy. Crazy. Completely crazy. And it's going to get worse, as you know. How much? All right. We know that the midterms will probably shift the House and the Senate back to the GOP. Those people will not be sworn in until sometime in January. I don't remember when. So it's not like they have
January
to hurry.
January 21st, isn't it?
Something like that. Something like that.
Yeah.
It's near the end of the month. So the Ukes are on a time chain here. They don't know. I don't know when they're going to light off this nuke, but it looks like they're going to light off at least one. They're trying to blow up the dam now to flood Kherson. This is not going to work. It's just not going to work. No.
Mm-mm. No, they're. I'll tell you what. They're. First of all, I think the Democrats will get a supermajority in Congress after this election. Now, how can they possibly humanly do that? Well, they can't. They have to cheat to do that. They will cheat. All this talk about, overturning Roe versus Wade is going to make everybody vote Democrat. That all that is propaganda preparation of the battlefield to win the election to make you believe that the Democrats possibly could have won because of all these stupid reasons that they're pulling up.
Yep.
The Democrats will win. Okay.
Yep.
So the psychological operations are already ongoing. Okay. And I'm convinced that they will rig the election. If they don't rig it, I think it's because the government makes an assessment that nobody's going to buy it because it's too bold faced. How could they possibly win when their approval rating is so low?
To the opposite, yes, of course.
Right.
No,
exactly.
No. Nobody with a brain wants that that pervert in the White House to continue. Nobody.
So, no.
God, what an insult to what's left of the American intelligence to rig another election. We'll see. I don't think so. I think you're right.
Well, it's the only way they can stay in power. They cannot stay in power on their merits. They have to cheat.
No. Not a chance.
Yeah.
All right. Great job, Mitch. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night. Mitchell Henderson. All right. And his programs always appear in his columnist section. You'll find them there if you want to listen again. We will be back tomorrow night on Tuesday. Talk to you then. Take care.